and find out what you have to say to us. And thank you for inspiring your word, for preserving your word, that we have the word of God in our hands today, a word from heaven. And we pray that you would use me today to clearly explain and apply the word of God and help us as listeners to understand and to apply and to change the way we should. We continue to pray for Diana there in the hospital and to pray these infections would clear up and that you would do a work in her life and bring her back to health, we pray. And for the Magnuses, Lord, and Brother Steve and Teresa Susong, all who've lost loved ones this week, we pray that you would continue to encourage and minister in those lives. And do pray for Duncan as he's got this concussion. We pray that it would clear up quickly, not have any after effects from that. And pray for Barbara and Brittany as they'll be traveling back this week. Give them safety and strengthen them as they're ministering there in Ohio. Do pray for Amy as they've now scheduled surgery. We pray that she'd be able to have that and they might be able to remove the cancer, Lord, and just work in that situation. For the Nortons and many others there in Louisiana struggling through this flooding, we pray that you would help these folks and keep them safe and protect their belongings and things. And Lord, these folks are going through a great trial, and we pray that you would just minister to them today. And for the family of Jane Eddy, we pray that you would just minister to them and encourage their hearts today also. For Levi, as he's got these blood clots, pray they would clear up quickly and not have any complications from that. And for Margaret Murray, just found out she has ALS and, Lord, very difficult disease, and pray that you would just encourage her and help her in the coming days. And then for Mike Wade, as he has this double bypass, pray that would go well. Have your hand upon him. And again, Lord, bless our time together now. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. In high school, I remember in English class, we had to memorize some poems. I don't remember any of them except for one. And I only remember a little bit of it. But it's from Robert Frost's poem, The Road Not Taken. And some of you are familiar with that. And the lines I remember, I didn't really remember where they were in the poem, but they're the very last lines. And it says, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. I remember when I was the Wilds Counseling that one of the phrases they often use was, there are only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. Now, both of those things remind us that life is made up of choices. If you were to stop and count all the choices you made this week, there would be thousands of choices. Some of them were not necessarily life-changing. Some of them may have been life-changing. But boy, choices are so important. And as we come to 1 Kings chapter 9 this morning, we're going to hear the Lord talking to Solomon again about future choices. And there are really two choices in life, aren't there? Obeying God or disobeying God. It's really that simple. And so we want to look at that this morning and determine in our hearts this week that we're going to try to make the right choices, okay? So look at our text, 1 Kings chapter 9, and we're going to read the whole text for this morning, which is the first 9 verses. And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he had pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time. Now that's important. The second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house. What house is he talking about? The temple, which thou hast built, to put my name there forever. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. As I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye and your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house, which is high, everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss, and they shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought unto them all this evil. So, this morning we have two major points. First one, the setting for the choices, and it's found in verses 1 through 3. And we find, first of all, that Solomon's desires had been accomplished. Let me read that first verse again. Came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire which he had pleased to do. So the temple was built. It was constructed 7 years. In our money today, probably worth over $5 billion. Over 200,000 workers every day for 7 years. The building was complete. They purified themselves. They praised the Lord. God's presence came, the temple was dedicated. He completed his own house, which took some 13 years. Must have been quite a house. And several other buildings in that area. All of that was completed. They had finished the work. And in verse 10, which we did not read, 20 years have gone by. 20 years. Now think about that, folks. For 20 years he'd been king. What had happened at the beginning of his reign? What major event occurred 20 years before? What's that? Well, there was a huge event that really brought about this passage here where he accomplished all that he desired. Why? What's that? He prayed for wisdom. God, you remember, God had come to Solomon and said, Solomon, what do you want? Now, I'm not going to reteach that lesson, but think about that for a minute. If God came to you today and said, what do you want? What would you say? Well, obviously, we could talk about possessions or power or popularity, all the things the world has to offer. And Solomon said, Lord, I want wisdom. I want discernment. And God said, well, you know what? Since you didn't ask for those other things, I'm going to give them to you. And for 20 years, he had operated under that choice that he made. And God had blessed them. And God had used them. And by the way, let me just back up a minute. There is a New Testament verse, obviously, that teaches this great same truth. What is it? Put God first. He'll take care of the rest. Yeah, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? Because everything in the world clamors for our attention. Our job clamors for our attention. Now, that makes it a little bit easier for me because my job's here. And it was funny the other day. Pastor was asking about all the people who work with unsaved people. I really wanted to raise my hand, but I didn't. I showed real self-restraint. But your job clamors for your attention. Your bills clamor for your attention. The pleasures of the world clamor for your attention. Everything is pulling at you to go that way. And God says, wait a minute. Put me first. Put me first. And he said, when you put me first, I'll take care of all this stuff. And that's exactly what Solomon did. And by the way, that's not really the point of the lesson this morning. But if you're like me, you need that encouragement. Because it's so easy to get tied up with all the things of this world, the pleasures of the world, the possessions of the world, the power in the world, all of these things, and forget that our first number one priority is to put Him first. Put Him first. Solomon had done that some 20 years previously, and God had blessed him and used him in a mighty way to do all of this construction and to build the government in Israel. God had used him in a mighty way, but you know what? That was 20 years ago. Now, it's interesting in this passage. Look what it says in verse 2. That the Lord appeared to Solomon, what? The second time. as he appeared at Gibeon. You see, Solomon had made some choices for 20 years based on what God had done for him, but he still had a long life ahead of him, still had a lot of choices to make. And folks, you may be 30 years old, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. I don't think we have anybody 90. I think the oldest are in the 80s. But you know what? Even in your 80s, you've still got a lot of choices to make. To help me out here for a moment, I'm not just talking about 80-year-olds, but any of us, what kind of choices do we have to make in 2016 as believers? What are some choices you're faced with? Or your wife, or the person sitting next to you, if you want to be too personal. What kind of choices? Music is a huge choice. Thank you. I could preach on that for a while, but I'm not going to. Because, and you know what? You say, what? My music choice doesn't matter. Then the devil has fooled you. You shouldn't have got me started here, May. You listen to the wrong kind of music, it's going to control your mind. You're going to do the wrong kind of actions. I've got a 10-page sermon on that, which you're not going to hear right now. What else besides music? What's that? How you dress. Yeah, clothing, sure. Which obviously is a bigger issue for women than it is for men. But you have to decide every day, am I going to please the Lord in this, or am I going to please the world? What else? What you watch, sure. Yeah, what you watch. What else? Financial decisions. Now think about this. You get paid every once in a while, every week, every other week, when they feel like it. You have decisions to make instantly, don't you? You've been taught probably from your youth about tithing, that the tithe belongs to the Lord, and you sit down with all your bills and you say, oh my soul, I can't afford to tithe. And you have a choice to make. You know, I'm glad my parents taught me to tithe when I was a child. You get a buck, you give 10 cents to the church. Now, I'll be honest with you, at this point in my life, it's not a matter of should I tithe or not, it's remembering to tithe, you know, remembering to pay the bills, you know, I'm 56, you know, it's getting bad, it's really bad. So, but it's really not a struggle. It's really not a struggle because that's what I've done my whole life. It's a habit. What else? Where you go, what you do. If you're going to, you have a choice every day about the Word of God. You have a choice every day about prayer. A lot of that is your choice about getting out of bed. Okay? Just think of it, folks. Multiple choices. And those choices determine the very path of your life. Some of those choices are huge. We have folks going to get married here pretty soon. Those are big choices. Are you serious about this? You really want out? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Wow, what choices. I mean, here you've got God's path for your life, and he wants you to be right there, and choices like marriage or going to college or doing things, those are big steps, aren't they? And boy, you better make sure they're steps in the right direction, because if you take that big step over here and you continue, wow, pretty soon you're far from the will of God. But you know what? Little steps can get you there too, can't they? I make a wrong choice today. I don't read my Bible and pray. I make the same choice tomorrow. I make the same choice the next day. I choose to disobey God. I choose to go my own way. And before long, God's will is way over there and we're way out here. Boy, these choices are important. Solomon had made the right choice. 20 years have gone by, and now God comes to him again. And the Lord's going to warn him about his choices. So we've seen in verse 1, his desires were accomplished. In verse 2, he's got a lot of decisions left to make. And then in verse 3, it says, and the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built, put my name there forever. Mine eyes, my ears shall be there perpetually. God said, okay, Solomon, I've heard your prayer. This is the prayer of the dedication of the temple. He said, I'm going to hear you. I'm going to be here. I'm going to listen to you, Solomon. This is a wonderful time. If you need me, I'm here. Okay? But I want to spend most of our time on the second main point, and that is the statement of choices. And again, it's very clear here, okay? This is not real deep today. It's just right here in front of us. Notice in verse 4. Here's the first choice, and that is obedience. Verse 4 and 5. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked. And I have, when you read that, what do you think? Maybe your mind's not like mine. Probably not like mine. Here he says, Solomon, I want you to walk in obedience, and I want you to do it just like your dad. He's your example. Yeah, you say, wait a minute, what about Bathsheba and Uriah, you know? But he goes on to say, you know, David had integrity of heart and uprightness in his walk. Now, what's the point? Did David sin? Sure, undoubtedly. But what else do you know about David's sin? He confessed it and he repented of it. And that, by the way, was not a pattern in his life. It's tragic to me that David was the king for 40 years, and we think of David and all the things he did, we probably think of Goliath and Bathsheba. But he said, you know what, Solomon, when you're looking for someone to obey, that to as an example of obedience, I want you to look at your dad. Now, we could spend a whole lot of time here, dads and moms. But if I went to your children and said, you know, you need to obey God, and you need to do it just like your dad does, just like your mom does. I often meet young people, unfortunately, who are raised in a good church and they've gotten older and they have gotten far from God. And it's not always the parents' fault. I'm not saying that, because children have a right to choose. Okay, you can't make your children do what you want them to do. But I'm afraid often the problem, or sometimes, let me change that, sometimes the problem is that we bring them to church and they hear the truths of the Word of God, and then they go home and they watch our lives and they... Or someone in leadership at the church falls. I believe this happened to your brothers. They were raised here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. The youth pastor blew it morally, and they were lost from that point on. Boy, example so important. My dad often said, your life is speaking so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. And isn't that true? And as I was studying in this lesson, now my girls are in their 20s and 30s, but I thought, I wonder if they think of a godly person who is obeying God, would they think of me? Oh, I sure hope so. Wow. I don't want my children to be able to come to me and say, Dad, my daughter, of course, oldest daughter is a youth pastor's wife, and come to me and Sarah say, you know, Dad, we're going to leave the ministry because of your life. Or my other daughter say, you know what, we're going to drop out of church. We're going to quit serving the Lord because of you. God comes to Solomon and said, hey, you need to obey me. And your example is your dad. Maybe we ought to just stop and have an invitation. If you've got young children, hallelujah. Folks, we need to examine our hearts and our lives. We tell our children church is important, but then we don't go. What are they going to believe? See? We tell them we shouldn't, that being pure and moral is important, and then they see what we watch on TV or they hear what we listen to. Wow. We have a great responsibility, folks. And here he says to him, look, your dad is your example. And then look what else he says. He says, you need to do according to all that I have commanded thee and will keep my statutes and my judgments. He's saying, look, I've got things in the Word of God. I've given you truths. There are statutes. There are judgments. There are rules and laws that I've given to you that you need to keep. You need to do the will of God. By the way, Give me three or four steps to determining the will of God for your life. What's the first step? Always the first step. What's that? Well, we know salvation. If I want to determine the will of God, where should I go? Let me give you a better question. Thank you. Yeah, first step, Danny's holding up the Word of God, right? First step, go to the Word of God. What if I go to the Word of God and it doesn't explicitly say, do this or don't do that? Then what? Keep looking. That's pretty close, because you look for principles in the Word of God, don't you, that might apply to the situation. I mean, the Bible was written 2,000 years ago. Some of the things going on today, of course, were not going on then, things. But there are obviously principles. Does it edify? Does it bind me? All kinds of principles. All right, so we've looked at the Word of God. It doesn't explicitly say what to do. I can't find any principles. Now what do? Flip a coin, right? Heads you do it, tails you don't, right? Is that a good spiritual way to do it? Draw lots like they did in the Old Testament?
Keep on doing what God tells you to do.
Keep on doing, but well, I got to make a decision. I got a choice to make. Pray. And that's really obviously going on the whole time, but God has given you an answer person within you, hasn't he? And that's the Holy Spirit of God. And if you don't have peace about it, if the Holy Spirit won't give you peace, don't do it. Don't do it. Now, by the way, if that fails, you say, well, there is obviously spiritual counsel. I'm afraid often we put spiritual counsel first. Word of God is first. Word of God is first. And please don't ever come to us and say, you know, I've prayed about this and I prayed about it, and I know the Bible says this, but I believe God wants me to do this. You say, no one would ever do that. Really? And when they come to us, by the way, it's already over. It's done. I mean, they're not there to listen. They're there to justify. Okay? Find the will of God, and I hate to talk about Nike, but just do it. Okay? Find the will of God, folks, and do it. Find it and do it. This is what he's saying to Solomon. He's saying, but Gary, I don't understand it. I don't feel like it. I don't, it's not the popular thing to do. I won't enjoy it. I like the song, Trust and Obey. Just trust the Lord and do right. Trust the Lord and do right. And look what he says. If you'll do that, in verse 5, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. As I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne. What is he saying? If you will obey God, I will bless you. That's what he's saying. I didn't finish that song, by the way. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. In James chapter 1, verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, this man, or he being not a forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be, you know the next word? Blessed in all his deed. You want to be blessed? Do you want God's smile upon you? It's real easy. Well, the answer is real easy. I say it's real easy to do it. Obey God. Just obey God. Find out what God wants you to do and do it. Obedience. But look on in verse 6 through 9, because the Lord doesn't stop there. What's the first word in verse 6? But. But. If ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children will not keep my commandments, my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel. He says, all right, look, if you decide my ways are too harsh, they're too hard, it's too narrow, it's no fun, you don't want to do it, you don't feel like doing it, you go and serve other gods. You say, whoa, wait a minute, Seaman, I don't serve other gods. Well, now, I doubt if I went to your house that any of you have an altar set up with wooden gods. If you do, we have serious problems, but I don't think I would find that. But does idolatry exist today? In America? Yeah, one of them just started preseason, quoting Bill Meade, don't call it exhibition, NFL football. Is that not an idol in America? Sports? Sure. Possessions? Anything we put before the Lord? Cars? My van is dying. Twice, I tried to go visiting yesterday, and I got to one visit, and then it started puttering and spitting, and I made it back to Bob. We're going to put a new distributor on it. It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. But it's a 99 Villager. It's just seen better days. So I've been shopping for cars. And, you know, I'm praying about the work of the Lord and all these things, and my mind is saying, what about that car? And I'm praying, and I'm thinking about giving, and, you know, well, you know, if you did, Boy, God has convicted me about this. I don't want to get in debt, so I can't give God the money he needs and deserves. Now, if you've got a 40,000 car, the Lord bless you, that's fine. You can probably afford it. I can't. And if I have a $600 car payment every month, it's going to hurt my giving to God. There's someone in this room, and I'm not going to tell who he is, but he made a choice to live in a smaller house and to get out of debt so that when God speaks about giving, he could do it. And I thought, what a great way to live. Now, again, if you've got a nice car, Lord bless you, I'd like to borrow it. Okay, my good. But boy, things can become idols and take the place of God so quickly and so easily. And we don't have church on Sunday night because the Super Bowl's on. Sorry about that. He said, now look. And by the way, John said in 1 John 5:22, which is New Testament, little children, keep yourself from idols. He said, don't do it. He said, now, Solomon, if you disobey me, if you get follow idolatry and idols and disobey God, here's what's going to happen. Then will I cut off Israel, verse 7, out of the land which I've given them, this house which I have hallowed for my name, will I cast out of my sight. Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among... What's he saying? He's saying, Solomon, if you disobey me, there's going to be punishment. I'm going to take you out of the land. I'm going to destroy this place. You're going to be a byword, kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, Israel. What happened to this place? They disobeyed God. What happened to this house? Why did they build the temple? For what purpose? We talked about this 2 or 3 weeks ago. Worship God. Dwelling place of God. To do what? Same thing we're supposed to do with our lives. Glorify God. He said, and if you disobey me, we're going to tear the temple down. Instead of glorifying God, it's going to dishonor God. Wow, is that not true of our lives too? God says, look, you disobey me, and I'm a just God. By the way, last week we talked about that God is a faithful God and a forgiving God, and we've got to be careful with that. That those things are true, but never say, well, if God's a forgiving God, hallelujah, I'm going to go out and sin and just ask God forgive me for it. Where did Paul deal with that? Romans chapter 6. And the guy said, look, if where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Well, hallelujah. If there's more, the more sin, the more grace, then I'm just going to go out and sin a lot, so there'll be more grace. And how did Paul respond under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? God forbid. How should we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Yeah, great truth. And boy, I hope there's none of you would say in my heart and life, oh, I know God will forgive me, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Ooh. God says to him, look, you disobey me. You disobey me. Punishment is around the corner. God must punish sin. Now, I want to read in closing a quote by Hudson Taylor. I don't read many quotes, but this is good. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China, you know him well. The enormity of sin and the awful consequences which result from it are too little realized and too little taught. Now, this was written in late 1800s. Now, you think it was bad then. Yeah, okay. He goes on to say, because God graciously promises that forgiven sin shall no more be remembered against the believer, many forget that God's word equally assures us that God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret, whether it be good or bad, whether it be evil. Now, this week, some right here this morning may be facing some very difficult choices. And often those choices come down to, am I going to obey God or am I going to please self? And right now you may be sitting and saying, well, boy, let me just remind you, folks, obedience brings blessing. Brings blessing. Don't you want the hand of God to be for you instead of against you? When trials and difficulties come in life, I don't want to have to go to the Lord and say, now, Lord, I've been living a rotten life, and I've been wicked, and I've been sinful, but hey, forgive me of all that. I need your help. I want to be able to say, Lord, now, I'm not perfect, but I've been trying to please you. You know that, Lord. I've been trying to live an obedient life. And Lord, I need you. Oh, my, I need you. And I want God's smile to be upon my life and for him to be able to say, you're right. And for his blessing and help to be there in time of need. Only two choices on the shelf. Pleasing God or pleasing self. And I would encourage you and me this week, today you're going to make choices. Obey God. Live in the place of blessing. Live in the place of blessing. And the place of blessing comes from obedience. Okay? Lord, we do thank you for this passage of Scripture, for the truth that we find in it. Help us as believers to be obedient this week. Help us to make choices, to make right choices, I pray, that we might live in a place of blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great. Good to have you all with us this morning. Thank you for being here.